Amen. Amen. All right. So we've been going through a faith series. Has anybody been here through the whole series? Oh, great. A lot of hands. Good. So Pastor Jessica, if you remember, she was teaching us about kite faith. You remember about that? And she had the great illustration with the fan. And it's the way most of our faith goes. When things are good, the winds are blowing and we're flying high, right? But then when things aren't so good, we kind of crash and burn. Amen? And we need this brick wall faith. And a lot of you have written things that you're believing for on the brick wall. Brick wall faith is, it's able to stand. And when everything comes against you, it's able to still keep standing. Amen? Yeah. And she talked to us about how to pray faith, how to speak faith, and how to take action in faith. And then how many were here last week for Pastor Deborah? Amen. That was a good word. And she taught us that faith needs permission. You know, you can't just go believe in God for so-and-so's husband. You know, that's not standing on the word, right? And she taught us that faith needs practice. You know, we have to exercise our faith for it to grow, and that faith needs patience. And I think that's where a lot of us have problems, right? And today, I want us to first turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So that sounds like to me that we all get a little dose of faith. A measure of faith. And since we know that God is not a respecter of persons, he doesn't show favoritism, your faith was given and my faith was given the same. He didn't like skip over you. Although you might be feeling sometimes like when your faith is weak, like I just can't believe for this, I can't believe for that. You were given just as much faith as I was given, right? He doesn't show favoritism. So it's like muscles. You know, we were all given muscles. And you see weightlifters and stuff, not all of our muscles look the same, right? They have to lift higher and higher weights to develop their muscles. And we, like our muscles, we have to develop our faith. Amen? So a lot of times, what happens is our faith isn't developed, and we start blaming our God. You know, and I kind of get righteously indignant when I hear people saying, you know, God didn't come through. God is faithful, ladies. He is faithful. And we need to stop accusing him of not fulfilling his word when he's told us he will fulfill his word. And we need to say, well, if the problem isn't with God, might the problem be with me? Right? Okay, so I'm a medical doctor, as many of you know, and so I get a chance to see diseases and sicknesses all the time. And something that's never gonna go away because we live in a world that's not perfect is infection, okay? And you see bacterial infections, you know, you get an earache and you go to the doctor and he says you need this antibiotic to fix this infection, right? Because something has entered your body and it's grown and developed, and now to get rid of it, you need an antibiotic. We know about the common cold. You know, you're coughing, you're sneezing, you're feeling cruddy, right? And it's a virus and there's no antibiotic. It's an infection that you get from other people and from the air or whatever, and you get sick. There are fungus. You've seen people that have like athlete's feet or have, you know, some type of ringworm or something. This is a fungus. It's a little harder to get rid of. We can get some medicine. We get rid of this type of infection, right? How about parasites? I was listening to 89.7 on the way in, and they're trying to take money because these kids are drinking water that is infected water. I remember when we went to Africa, I saw ladies filling up their baby bottles in a muddy ditch. They don't understand that there are germs in the water, and then you get an intestinal parasite, like a worm or something that grows there, you know? And in all of this sickness, you know, you try to prevent it, right? So what you do is you're washing your hands, you know, when you go in public places, after you use the bathroom, you're washing your hands. You're carrying around hand sanitizer. Before you eat, you're taking the hand sanitizer so no germs get in your body. If somebody tells you, girl, don't come over here because we all got the flu, are you just going to go over there and visit them? No, you're going to stay away. They're just coughing, hacking, all that. You don't want it, right? So you don't go in a realm of coughing people. I even hate to be on the plane. Do you take that, what's that pill that you take, you know, airborne? You know, you're on the plane and a closed thing, no telling how long your flight is, and everybody's just coughing, and, you know, you could become a germaphobe, right? And you don't eat chicken that's set out on the counter for 2 or 3 days and then cook it, do you? Because you will be going to the bathroom, throwing up, you will eat the wrong thing. Amen? Well, what happens is infection enters the body some kind of way, and then it multiplies and it infects your cells and it causes the symptoms of the cough, redness, you know, all these symptoms, the pain, symptoms that you have. And we have symptoms too of a certain disease. And this disease, I'm going to ask today, the title of this message is, have you been infected by a faith buster? Have you been infected by a faith buster? Well, let's see if you have any symptoms. I'm going to call the symptoms the D's, the letter D, okay? You've become disinterested in the things of God. You used to come to girlfriends every week, but now you skip a couple weeks. Maybe I won't even go. I just don't feel like talking to people. I don't feel like smiling. I don't feel like dealing. Huh? You know, I used to sit on right up in front in church so I can get all the Holy Spirit that I can get. But as the week's gone by and my prayers haven't been answered because God, I don't know why he didn't come through for me. I've just inched my way back and maybe I'm up in the rafters right now or I don't even come. I need to feel good, so I scheduled to ride my bike on Sunday mornings because that gives me energy. It makes me feel good. I don't have time any other day because I work, and this is my only free time, so I'm going to join this bike club, and the only time they go is Sunday mornings, you know. And so disinterest in the things of God. Do you have that symptom? The second symptom is discouragement. You know, because God hasn't come through, you're getting a little discouraged. You know, I see people being blessed all around me, and yet he hasn't come through for me. And so now, I don't really want to tell anybody about the goodness of God, because after all, is he that good? Why hasn't he answered my prayer? I'm discouraged. I'm getting a little negative. I don't see the glasses half full. I see the glasses half empty all the time. The talk that's coming out of my mouth shows you that I'm being negative. What have you been speaking? And the last thing of the D's, this disease that you might have, keep looking straight ahead, nobody will know, is that you start distancing yourself from God. You start blaming God. You stop praying. You know, God's our friend, right? We sing that song, you know, that he's a friend, I'm a friend of God. He's our friend. What do you do with your friends? You know, you spend time with them, you talk to them, you hang out, you just chill. You go to them, they're your confidant, you know, you guys, you are like minds, you know, you're on the same page. And this is how we were with God, but when things don't come through, maybe we don't get up like we used to 15 minutes early to spend time in the Word, or on our lunch break, we stop carrying around our Bible, we're like, it's not working, right? Have you been infected? All right. And, you know, we all know the verse that says the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But it's almost like we're teenagers. Teenagers, you know, they think that nothing applies to them. Right? It's like you tell them all the time, you know, don't speed, you know, don't go to parties and leave your drink. And we're all paranoid because we've seen it happen. But they're like, my parents, it's not what happened to me. You know, I'm not going to become an alcoholic. I'm just drinking at this party. And I'm not going to be addicted to whatever. I'm just going to have this one puff or this one shot or whatever it is. I'm just going to snort one time. I just want to feel it. I just want to see. And it's not going to happen to me. And that's how we kind of are with the enemy coming to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not going to happen to me. But viruses and infection enter some kind of way. Right? And you are probably infected if you have some of these symptoms. And the symptoms are subtle. They sneak up on you. You don't always know it right away. And if you don't get treatment, they can be fatal. It can cause you to have a spiritual death. Because as you are becoming more disinterested in the things of God, as you're becoming more discouraged, and as you're distancing yourself from God, all of a sudden you see people who have been all active in the church, and all of a sudden now, where are they? They've just, you see them now, they may be, you know, just out on the street, don't attend church at all, don't even realize that they used to be saved. Can I get a witness? Y'all just staring at me. Okay. And this is what happens with these faith busters. You know, we have given place to the devil somewhere in our life, and they come into our bodies, they multiply, and they cause symptoms. The disinterest, the discouragement, the distancing yourself from God. And therefore, the problem is probably not with God. The problem is probably with us. So there are numerous types of things that stop our faith. And I want to cover today 7 that I think are key, okay? And the first one is doubt. You know, turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And that's how it starts, with a question, a thought in your mind. Did God really say? And this is how we justify sinning. It's like, oh, I know that the Bible says, don't get drunk with wine, but I'm not planning on getting drunk. What I'm going to do is, you know, we justify sin with the question, you know, did God really say that I can't live with this man when we're going to get married? Can I not sleep with him because we already had the wedding plan and actually we have kids together? I mean, you know, fornication doesn't apply to me because, and doubt. I'm sorry, this is what he put on my heart, and so I'm sharing it with you. So it starts with a thought, and that's why we have to cast down every imagination, everything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Because once you have doubt, you start thinking of all kinds of things. You know, if you think that God may not come through, you know, we all do this. You feel a little bump and it doesn't go away, and you're like, "Oh, could I have cancer?" You get a bad headache and you're like, "I probably have a life-threatening tumor." Right? You know, I trained in North Carolina, and a lot of the people in the small town where I trained were uneducated and they were full of fear. Remember what Pastor Deborah said fear was? False evidence appearing real, right? And you just cling on to that, you grab hold of that, and then you're just afraid. And so I remember specifically, I saw a million of these, but one lady came in and she said that she had a growth on her breast. So I'm like, okay, well, get undressed. I'm going to come back and I'm going to examine you. When I come back and I pulled a gown down, she had a black, fungating, entire breast and chest covered tumor. And I'm like, "How long have you had this?" You know, and she's like, "You know, it's been there a while." I'm like, "And it smelled." And I'm like, "Why come you didn't come in?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know." She was afraid. Yeah. And if you've been infected by doubt all the time, you know, fear comes into you and you don't want to admit it. But we cannot hide our heads in the sand like ostriches or something, right? We have to realize I have an infection. I have to deal with it. The reason my prayers haven't been answered because I've been infected with this doubt, okay? Your faith can move mountains, but your doubt can create them. Your doubt will make a headache a tumor. Indigestion, heartburn, you feel like you're having a major heart attack. You got the flu and you think it's cancer. You know, turn to John chapter 20, verse 44. John chapter 20. Verse 44. Oh, that's not right. There isn't. Okay, well, I don't know where that verse is. Where's the verse with doubting Thomas? I wrote that down wrong. Doubting Thomas. Uh-oh. 21. No, there's no John 21. All right, well, find it. That's your homework for today. And what it says is, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wounds in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be to you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless anymore. Believe." "My Lord, my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Okay, so I know those verses were the 24 through 29. What chapter was that?
John 20.
John 20? Oh, maybe I didn't do it. 24. Okay. So we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We can't be like doubting Thomas and want to see everything. You know, when it comes to your marriage and your marriage is looking like it's falling apart, you know, you're not moved by what you see, you're moved by the word. God hates divorce. What God has put together, let no man tear apart. You know, your marriage is of God. You stood before witnesses, you stood before God, and you said you were going to love that man. Maybe you felt, you know, butterflies at that time and you don't feel them anymore. It's not based on a feeling. You chose to love, and you love him as unto God. Whether he's loving you the same way or not, as long as there's not abuse, you know, you hang in there with that marriage. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. How about your finances? You know, you add it all together, and what's coming in is not enough to meet what's going out. How many been there? And you're paying a little bit here. You know, I was there. I had probably, I don't know, $300,000 worth of debt. You know, when I got out of medical school, the day you graduate, they're like, "Okay, this bill is due, this bill is due, this bill is due." You know, I called them, I'm like, we concentrate on, what did Pastor Deborah just say? You eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? So we concentrate on paying off one. I called all the other people, I'm like, "You're saying I need to pay this, but this is what I got. So I'm gonna give all of y'all a little bit, I'm gonna pay off that." When we did it one at a time, I was probably, when I was early 40s, I was free of debt. Okay? But it's not an easy thing, right? Because you have to walk by faith and not by sight, not by what you see. You know, you're going to believe the report of the Lord, not what the doctor says. You know, he's telling you facts, but he's putting fear in you. But what does God's word say? And he's still the healer. Amen? So the first type of infection was doubt. Let's look at pride. Pride. D.L. Moody says, "God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves." I love that one. He is always there to meet your need unless you're all fooled up with yourself. Amen? Proverbs 11:2 said, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." So I'm gonna give a couple examples, and like you did before, just look straight ahead and see if you might be infected with pride. Pride indicators. You get so frustrated because others just don't want to do it your way. You always are irritated by others because, you know, it's so easy, it's so simplistic to understand, but they just don't get it. I don't know what their problem is. You do not feel appreciated, and you're continually offended. You know why? Because you think everything revolves around you. You're always offended. You know, I was going to buy, my son says this all the time, and I saw at Christmas time, you know, on Facebook, they put like shirts and stuff to buy, and it said, "Shush, no one cares." And, you know, the point is, you think that they do. Like, you're like, she walked right by me. She didn't even speak. And you don't even know. Her mom is on hospice. You know, her marriage is falling apart. She's worried about her finances. She was not even looking at you, but you took it internally because you're so full of yourself. You're embarrassed easily. Now, when I first thought about this one, it didn't seem like that's pride. But again, you know, you're thinking about you, right? You're like, they laughed at me. You know, no, they laughed with you. This was what you did funny, and they all laughed. Would you have laughed it with somebody else? Yes. So why are you all embarrassed? Because you're concerned about your image and what they think of you and all this kind of stuff, right? All right. The next type of infection is guilt and holding on to your past. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Guilt. So I call this guilt syndrome the if onlys. Because you've heard other people's testimonies and you've seen other people healed, but I always hear, well, yeah, I know that that happened to them and God blessed them financially or God healed them, but, and I know he can. I'm aware that he can. I trust God with all my heart. I just don't know if he'll do it for me. Because if only if I had different parents, you know, the way I was raised, I really didn't have a chance in life. If only I was a different skin color, then maybe, you know, I wouldn't have been raised like this and I got all these hang-ups and all this stuff. And if only I hadn't gone to prison or whatever, if only I hadn't gotten hooked on cigarettes, if only. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. You're a new creature in Christ. It's not if only. He's given us all the same measure of faith. Yes. Exercise your muscles of faith. Amen?
Amen.
The fourth one is unforgiveness. You knew that one was coming. Yeah. Hate to tell you. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, the father of, in this world, you know, the man who always taught faith was Kenneth Hagin. And I've listened to numerous of his tapes, and he always uses Mark 11:22-24, where it says, if you have faith, you can move mountains. If you speak to the mountain, command it to be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt, there's that doubt, it shall be done, whatever you say. But the next verse says, you have to walk in forgiveness. Amen. There's a quote by Martin Luther King. It says, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a permanent attitude. You know, I heard Joyce Meyer say that it's like holding on to unforgiveness is like eating poison and thinking the other person is going to die. It's a poison. If you're infected with unforgiveness and you're just like, well, Lord, I just can't, because you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how much it hurts. You got to turn that thing over to Jesus. Amen. The fifth faith buster is disobedience and making poor choices. Titus 1:16 says they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. I hadn't read that one before. I was like, ouch. Yeah. We have to be obedient to the word of God. There's no way around it. You know, what does God tell us in his word? I mean, there's numerous commandments that we can't ignore. We can't read one chapter of the Bible and skip the next. You know, he says, let your yes be yes, your nay be nay. He says, you know, if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Stop being so easily offended. It says, seek him. Don't judge. It says to tithe. It says, ask in faith. It says, we're to be servants. You know, there's all kinds of commands of the way God tells us to act, how he wants us to walk, you know, to love God with all your heart, love your neighbor. You know, these things, you can't just ignore them and think they don't apply to you if you're going to trust him and have faith in him. Amen? Are you being a light? You know, wherever we go, somebody's looking, aren't they? To see, because if the God that you serve isn't real, then that's going to give them out. They were just hypocrites anyway. I don't have to serve that God. The sixth one is gossip. James 1:26 says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. The definition of gossip is unconstrained conversation about others with details that are not confirmed as true. Unconstrained conversation about others with details that are not confirmed as true. If you don't know whether it's the truth, for one, you don't need to be talking about anybody anyway if it's not in a good light. Amen? And especially if you don't know that's the truth. You don't need nobody else to pray with you about this person. Just pray. You don't need to gossip it. You know, and the big thing about gossip, the reason why it's such a faith buster, because it means you're not walking in love. In the New Testament, all the commandments are summed up in love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't rejoice with injustice, but it rejoices with the truth. If you don't know if it's the truth, you're not walking in love. Love is not rude, it's kind. So if you're not being kind, if you're gossiping, then you're disobeying the greatest commandments of God. Amen. And the seventh and last faith buster is anger and rage. Nobody makes you angry. You decide to use anger as your response. If somebody spits on you, you're wet. You choose to get angry about it. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You need to just take a minute. You need to calm yourself down. And remember, the only thing that should control you is not your emotions. It is the Holy Spirit. Don't let anything have that kind of control where you're so enraged that you're saying things that you don't really mean. Words do hurt. Words hurt. You're doing things that are out of your temperament. Nothing should control you to that extent. Amen? So, what do you do if you have the D's? Those three D's, you remember what they were? You need the R's. So you got the D's. And you need the R's. What's DR stand for? Doctor. You need a doctor. This is my visual, so you can remember this. All right. So what are the R's? First thing you got to do is you got to realize that you're sick. Amen? Yeah. Can't hide your head in the sand. And, you know, you got to be, remember the prodigal son? And he wasted away all his money. And then when he was tending to the pigs and eating slop, he was like, he had to come to his senses. Right? You got to stop playing around with God. You want the word to work for you like it works for this person or that person. You got to realize I got an issue with, there's more areas than these seven, right? I chose seven that I deal with all the time, and I thought you might too. Amen? So realize you're sick. That's the first R. The second is you got to run to the doctor, Dr. Jesus. That means get in your prayer closet with the word of God and start dealing with things. Amen? Let him replace the first infection, doubt, with confidence. Let him take all that pride where you're so full of yourself and ask him to give you humility. Let him replace all the guilt you have from your past by helping you to realize who you are in Christ. You are the righteousness of God. You are the Proverbs 31 woman. You're not waiting to become her. He's already put it in you, so walk in it. Amen? Have him take all that unforgiveness and teach you how to love like he loves. Teach him to see through the eyes of love. Have him take your disobedience by falling in love with him. I mean, how can you disobey him? Because when you love somebody, you want to please them. You want to make them happy. You're thinking of little things to do to please them. Amen? Please Jesus. He'll take away the gossiping as the Holy Spirit teaches you how to walk in love. He'll take away the anger and rage, and he'll give you that peace that surpasses all understanding, no matter what has happened. Amen? So you got to realize you got a problem. You got to run to the doctor, and you have to respond to God. James 1:22 says, don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. You got to respond. You got to act. Everybody can preach and you can take notes and you can leave here and be exactly the same, or you can do the word. Amen. And the last R is you have to resist disease. Resist this infection from entering your body. You know, we talked about washing your hands all the time. You have to immerse yourself. You have to wash yourself in the Word of God constantly. You have to carry hand sanitizer. You know what hand sanitizer is? You put cards in your pocket with the Word of God. And we're going to, I wrote these all out as I was studying this morning. God just put it on my heart. And the funny thing is that I went to my kid's school cabinet and I had just a couple of cards. And I'm like, well, I'll just do a couple and I'll give them to people, you know, that have a need or whatever. And right when I got to the last card was the last verse. So you're going to get a handout in a little bit. We can probably start passing it out in a little bit that has all these verses on there. But if you need some hand sanitizer, what you do is you just pull out a verse. And this is how I learned the Word of God, you know, and we'll go through that in just a second. Okay, so we got to realize, we got to run to the doctor, we got to respond to God, and you got to resist the disease. So you're washing your hands, you got hand sanitizer, you're immersing yourself in the Word as much as possible. And remember, you don't go into a room of people that have the flu, coughing all around you. You don't associate with people that are just coughing up negativity, that are talking things that are against the Word of God. Get out of that situation. If they do not have the faith that you have and they're pulling you down instead of building you up, you know, we're to edify. Like an edifice is a building, brick upon brick. If they're tearing you down, don't go in that room. Amen? Don't have them coughing all this up on you. Amen? And eating the wrong thing, just like you wouldn't eat chicken that sat on the counter for 2 or 3 days because you know you'll get the GIs, right? You have to eat the Word, not spoiled food. And when you get this handout, this is good Word to eat. Amen? 1 Peter 1:7, it says that these trials will show that your faith is genuine. You guys got the visual because I'm hot. I'm having a hot flash. Woo. Woo. Okay, remember the doctor, okay? Woo, I'm hot. Okay, I was trying to play it off, but I can't do it. Okay, all right, back to the Word. 1 Peter 1:7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. This just means that trials are going to come. Amen? There's an old Chinese proverb that I found. It says, a gem cannot be polished without friction, nor man perfected without trials. Probably your heroes in the faith world have been through some stuff. You know, we have Cheryl Salem come here all the time and speak. Has she been through some stuff? It's just a little. You know, because the only way you're going to get strong, the only way you're going to exercise your faith muscles is by going through some stuff. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So we want the mature and complete, lacking nothing. But did the first part say various kinds of trials? That means like it's not going to be easy, huh? But we're all going through it. You know, I looked at biblical characters in the Bible, like Noah. He's a righteous man. He's doing everything cool, all this hunky-dory, and then God says, build this ark. Now, I don't know back in the day how long it took to build an ark to fit two of every kind of animals and all his family in there, but he was probably at it for a couple years. And since they had never seen rain, they were probably thinking he was, you know, a little cuckoo, right? So he faced some, you know, some ridicule, some opposition, and yet in Genesis 6:22, and then again in 6 and 7 verse 5, it says Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. Despite the opposition, he continued to stand. Amen. You know the story of Joseph. He had the dream. He told his brothers. What'd they do? They try to kill him. They throw him in the pit. He gets sold into slavery. He's there doing, being the best slave he can be. And then the wife accuses him of something. He gets thrown into prison. He tells everybody, remember me. They forget about him. But ultimately, in Genesis 50, verse 20, it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Job, he lost his possessions, he lost his family, he lost his health. You know, when you don't feel good, it's easy to be weak in the faith. Amen? Yeah. But in verse 42, in chapter 42, verse 10, it says, Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes, and that the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Then all his brothers and sisters and former friends came and feasted with him in his home, and he also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. You gotta stand. It may look rough. I'm sure it was not looking good to Job when he's covered with sores and he lost all his kids and all his wealth and all his possessions, but he hung in there and he got double, twice as much as before. Abraham, he's called to leave the land of Ur and go to Canaan, all out of his comfort zone. God may call you to step out of your comfort zone. He gets to Canaan right in time for the famine. Like, what? I followed you, I obeyed you, and what's up with this? You know, he may have, a faith buster may have tried to come in there like doubt. Did I really hear from God? You know, but he knows he heard from God. Amen. And he wants to have a son, and he has Ishmael by Hagar, and that's not the one. And now he finally wants to have with Sarah, and she can't get pregnant. Now he's all old. He's been believing God all these years, battling against all this infection, these faith busters. And finally, he has his Isaac, who God tells him to kill. Did it take some faith? Did it take some standing? You are not the only one, nor I, that has gone through some stuff. And the stuff that you went through yesterday, I hate to tell you, there's more today and there's more in the future, because it happened to Jesus. Did Jesus do anybody any wrong? He lived this life without sin. He tried to bless people, heal people, whatever, and yet he was killed. He was prisoned. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was beaten, and he was killed, you know? So John 15:20 says, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And my last verse is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good and are called according to his purpose. Amen. And so if you find the reason that you're unable to stand is that you've been infected, the reason that you're blaming God and feel like you don't have enough faith, then guess what? Your diagnosis is you've been infected with a faith buster. And your prescription is you need to take at least twice a day, time period is forever, with unlimited refills, the Word of God. His promises. Did you get the paper? Oh, can we get the, everybody get the handout about the promises of God? Okay, so this is good food. It's not spoiled. It's not going to give you GI upset. This is what you need to eat every single day. But this is a full course meal. I have here those same verses, and you can do the same thing, written out on a little card. This is your hand sanitizer. This is what you put in your pocket and you pull out as ammunition when you're going through the day. Amen? So the first promise of God is Colossians 2:10. And it says, I am complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen? Who needs this hand sanitizer? The second one says in Ephesians 2:5, I am alive with Christ. Romans 8:2, I am free from the law of sin and death. Isaiah 54:14, I am far from oppression and fear does not come near me. This is what you take every single day as much as you can. 1 John 5:18, I am born of God and the evil one does not touch me. Amen? Ephesians 1:4 and 1 Peter 1:16 tell you that I am holy and without blame before him in love. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us that I have the mind of Christ. You're not going crazy with all of the things going on in your life. You have the mind of Christ. Amen? Philippians 4:7 says, I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You know, you don't need to take Prozac anymore. God's peace. He's the ultimate doctor. Amen? 1 John 4:4 says, I have the greater one living in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? Because a lot of times we're giving the devil too much credit. The greater, you know, that you don't have to fight the devil. You don't have to fight the devil. You know what you have to fight? You have to fight the good fight of faith. The devil is a defeated foe.
Come on.
Enemy. Amen. You don't have to fight him anymore. He's already been defeated, but you have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to exercise your muscles of faith. You have to build it up so that you can stand. And having done all to stand, you can continue to stand. Did I say that one? Romans 5:17 says, I have received the gift of righteousness and reign like a king in life by Jesus Christ. You know, you don't have to keep condemning yourself. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God, not because of what you've done. It's because of what he has done. So whether you feel righteous today and unrighteous tomorrow, it doesn't matter how you feel, because we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's what the word says. Ephesians 1:17-18 says, I have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of my understanding have been enlightened. Amen. Mark 16:17 says, I have received power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues. I have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm me. Who's walking in fear and you need to just pull this out of your pocket and hand sanitize a couple times a day? Colossians 3:9-10 says, I have put off the old man and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him who created me. You're no longer live it that person that used to be. Maybe the person that your high school friends remember. You're a new creature. Whether they think you're saved or they don't believe you're saved, you're still a new creature in Christ. Amen?
That's right.
God has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. If he doesn't remember them anymore, you forget them. Stop condemning yourself. Amen? Luke 6:38 says, I have given and it is given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men given to my bosom. You having a problem with your finances? You need to stand on this verse. Who needs this one? Philippians 4:19, I have no lack, for my God supplies all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 6:16, I can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one with my shield of faith. All right? Polish up your shield and hold it, so when the devil tries to put thoughts in your mind, remember, it starts with a thought. Did God really say?
Wow.
You need to say, yes, he said it. I read it. He said it, and I'm standing on it. Amen. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. Who needs to go back to school? Who needs to get out of a bad relationship? Who needs to get out of addiction? You can do all things through Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, I show forth the praises of God who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are the light of the world. You're like a light on a hill that all can see. Whether you feel like it or not, you have the power to reach many just by your testimony. You say, I don't know the scriptures. I don't know what to say. Just by what God has done in your life, you can be a witness. Amen? 1 Peter 1:23 says, I am God's child, for I am born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which lives and abides in me forever. You know, this one says that you have to know who you are in Christ. You can't stand on the word as long as you think your alcoholic father is your father. You have a heavenly father that committed no sin. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says, I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You know, whether you do something in the background or whether you're in the limelight up here preaching, we all have a purpose in the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, the little toe is no less important on your foot to help you to balance yourself. Amen.
Right.
Romans 6:11 says, I am a spirit being and I'm alive to God. You know, a lot of times the devil tries to make you think that you're dead. You know, you wake up, you don't have any joy. You've been discouraged, but you're alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, I'm a believer and the light of the gospel shines in my mind.
Amen.
James 1:22 says, I am a doer of the word and blessed in my actions. Yes. You know, if you don't believe you can do it, start saying, I'm a doer. Yes. You know, your confession works. You know, Mark 11:22, he says, if you speak, if I say, you know, what you say out of your mouth makes a big difference. You have to change your confession. You know, you're like, I haven't been able, I know, I just read it. And now you're going home feeling guilty because she said you got to do the word. Start saying it. I'm a doer. I'm a doer. Romans 8:17 says, I'm a joint heir with Christ. That means you're royalty. Yeah. It means you're a royal priesthood, that you've been set apart. There's a plan, there's a purpose for your life. Amen? Oh, that was this one. Romans, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. You feel like you're always getting crushed down? You feel like you can't get ahead in life? You need to start saying, I'm more than a conqueror. Man, I have a lot of these. Okay, I got 2 minutes. It says 10:45, right? Revelations 12:11 says, I am an overcomer of the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. You don't feel like you're overcoming, you are, because the word says you are. Amen? 2 Peter 1:3 says, I'm a partaker of his divine nature. Yes. That means everything that God has for me, I have it. Amen? The greater one is on the inside of me. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, I'm an ambassador. You know, it's a privilege to be an ambassador. It means you're representing your country. Well, you've been given the privilege of representing Jesus Christ in this world.
Yeah.
This may be the only Jesus that some people see is you. Amen? 1 Peter 2:9 says, I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation purchased by God. You're valuable. The value is by what someone will pay for you. And Jesus Christ paid his life for you. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:19 says, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am not my own. So if you've been having trouble stopping smoking, stopping drinking, stopping putting things in your body, say, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I will not defile it in the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy 28:13 says, I'm the head and not the tail. You know, we need to stop the pity party. We need to say, stop letting Satan put thoughts in our mind that we can't get ahead. Woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. You're the head and not the tail. Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. Romans 8:33 says, I am his elect, full of mercy, kindness, humility, and long-suffering. Ephesians 1:7, I am forgiven all my sins and washed of the blood. If he's forgiven you, we got to forgive ourselves. Amen? Colossians 1:3, I am delivered from the power of darkness and translated into God's kingdom. Yes. You have a new place to live. You're on this earth, but guess what? This is not your home. I am redeemed from the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty.
Yes. Right here.
I am firmly rooted, built up, and established in my faith and overflowing with gratitude. Psalm 66:8, I am called of God to be the voice of his praise. And remember, you're just going to snatch these out when your mind is attacked during the day. Isaiah 53:5, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. Amen. He didn't just die on the cross for your salvation, but he took stripes on his back for your healing. If he did it 2,000 years ago, you're the healed of the Lord now. Amen.
Amen.
I am raised up with Christ and seated in heavenly places, whether you feel like it or not. I am greatly loved by God. Nobody ever told you they loved you. You haven't been held lately. Nobody's giving you a hug. You don't feel loved. You know, 20 times a day, say, I'm loved by God.
Amen.
Colossians 1:11 says, I am strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You're feeling weak. You don't know if you can do it. You need to be strengthened in the Lord. James 4:7 says, I am submitted to God, and the devil flees from me because I resist him in the name of Jesus. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling me upward. Amen?
Amen.
You got to press. You got to stand. Don't let the enemy, who has no power, pull you down. 2 Timothy 1:17, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. It's only two left. I see hands. Galatians 2:20. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You're representing him everywhere you go, everything you do. And the last one is Romans 8:37. I'm a joint. Did I do that one? I'm a joint heir with Christ. I might have wrote it twice, but somebody needs it. Amen. All right, so let's just summarize. You got your hand sanitizer. You got your healthy meal that you're going to eat. Amen? And you know what the disease is, the D's, right? You're feeling disinterested. You're getting discouraged, and you're distancing yourself from God. You know, once you go to Dr. Jesus and you realize you're sick, you run to God, you respond to God, and you resist the disease, then you're not going to be able to get enough of God. You're going to be in every church service. The symptoms are going to go away as long as you take the word of God and be a doer of the word, you know, and then doubt and pride and guilt and unforgiveness and disobedience and gossip and anger and rage will not be a part of your life, and your faith will grow just like muscles grow and get strong. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.